Well, let's move on to our next passage, which is Luke chapter 17, 11 through 19. It is a Revised Common Lectionary passage for Proper 23 on October the 9th. Walter, would you be willing to read that for us, please?
Yes. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy, who stood at a distance, met him. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. But Jesus responded and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well."
Walter, I've long believed that proximity tends to breed compassion. Jesus sees their affliction up close and personal, has mercy on them. What can we learn about proximity, or maybe said another way, incarnational living, especially in light of this passage?
Yeah, the passage speaks to the presence of Jesus, doesn't it? I mean, he is present to the 10 men who had leprosy, he's present to the Samaritan. There are so many things about proximity that in the original, you know, audience's hearing would have struck them as extraordinary crossing of boundaries. I mean, Jesus was a boundary-busting person. And so it begins with, you know, he was on the way to Jerusalem. So it requires intentionality. He is on the way. And this theme of kind of this journey to Jerusalem, Jesus is kind of setting his face toward Jerusalem. So whatever it means to be proximate to someone, it's going to mean an intentionality. It will require you to choose to move in a certain direction. And the fact that he was proximate to a place like Samaria that would permit Samaritan to come to him is also, I think, an issue of intentionality in putting yourself in places that were unexpected, that Jesus would be proximate to Samaria. And as you know, folks may know that the relationship between the Samaritans and the Jews was fraught with animosity, deep suspicion that was even theologically grounded. Samaritans were viewed as heretics, and the Samaritans returned the favor and viewed the Jews as themselves being heretics. There were profound conflicts between these communities that at times came to physical blows and battles. So there was a deep division that Jesus crossed. And then, of course, we see the division that even seemed to be one sanctioned by the law. So they were at a distance, these men with leprosy, because they were told to be at a distance. The law required a distance in order for purity to be maintained. And so this sense of boundary busting must have captivated the disciples as they were following Jesus. How many boundaries can this man cross in order to minister to people? And I think there is for us a profound challenge. We have to be intentional. We have to find the spaces and places in our lives that we would not normally go to because, well, respectable Christians wouldn't go there. And what does it look like to become proximate to that? And then when we do, there is kind of even working through the things that maybe our religion and Christian subculture has taught us, oh, you can't go there, you can't touch that, you can't be around that. And so that's itself being challenged to our own instincts. And so as we do these things, we keep in mind, however, the ultimate desire, and that is to glorify God and to bring redemption in this world. this language of healing, this language of giving glory to God, thanksgiving to God, speaks to the powerful presence of Jesus in this world and the redemptive power that heals not only body, but also soul. And once again, the kind of reconciliation that happens, not just with the body being healed, but with a relationship being established. So the proximity that was not permitted between the Samaritan and holy spaces, as well as the lepers and holy spaces, now is being bridged. They are right at the feet of Jesus. Here is this Samaritan, once a leper, having all the bridges that Jesus crossed toward him. Now he has crossed them in response and come back in humble submission to God. And that's just such a beautiful picture, as well as a challenging picture of what it means to pursue an incarnational ministry.
Yeah, and all we have to do is look at Jesus. We sometimes act as if God cannot look upon sin, but Jesus dined with sin, embedded in all of us as sinners, as we're going to see in a later passage. Yeah. He moves toward it to heal it in himself once and for all. Hallelujah, praise God. It's hard to believe, Walter, but 90% of the healed lepers didn't return to glorify the Son of God for their received healing. What is going on, and how might this be a cautionary tale for us today?
Wow. Yeah. That sense of gratitude is coupled with submission. I think there's something that strikes me about the Samaritan that is so challenging. It's not simply that he gave thanks, but that he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So it is gratitude with submission that is so profoundly challenging. It's in his case, gratitude that probably led to the submission. I would like to reverse it for the 90% that didn't come back. It's probably the case that they were not submitted to God that led to their ingratitude. And the coupling of these two works in both directions, that the ability to say thank you puts us in a place where submission is a sensible response. Such a good God, I thank him for this, I'm able to submit. But in this paradoxical way of life, our unwillingness to submit makes us ungrateful people, because we can't give God thanks. We have to say that we did this on our own, that we're kind of on our own fine. And I think something of that is probably going on. We weren't there to interview the nine that didn't come back, mm-hmm. but the one that did come back, and the way that the narrative describes the attitude of the one that came back, couples the submission with the gratitude. And so my hunch is that part of the critique of the nine that didn't come back is that they did not have a submission coupled with gratitude.